Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is presented by the Writers and Illustrators of the Future. They've been providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance for their creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to welcome back podcaster Jennifer Aldrich. She has a new show, and she's a fan of all things Miss Fisher. Please don't call in, as this is a recorded episode. Here's Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sherry. Thank you for having me on.
I'm happy to have you back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
We can talk a little bit more about your wonderful trip to Melbourne, about some of the stuff that was released on the trailer that they just... But first, let's talk about the trailer. Wasn't that super?
That was incredible, and yeah, I think that I needed to watch that at least 5 times before I stopped squeeing through the whole thing and could actually, you know, hear the music and hear the words and hear what people were saying. But it was very, very, very exciting.
I was really, really excited. I have to admit, the people who said they were crying and fainted, I didn't understand. I didn't cry, I didn't faint, I just was really excited, I went, yay, but I didn't, no fainting, no crying.
I think I could understand it. It was just, you know, there's this thing that we've all played a part in, you know, contributing to and making and bringing it into existence, and there's such a long period of time between, you know, when they first started this Kickstarter and then when the movie is actually finished, that I think that, you know, I wouldn't blame people if they started to have doubts, am I ever going to see this thing? And so when you finally get to see it, it's just, it's overwhelming, you know, it's like, this is a real thing and this is really going to happen. So I think that that's probably the part that brings on the vapors for people.
I guess. I was really just happy to see it. I mean,
yeah.
The vista of Morocco with the camels is the coolest, one of the coolest shots.
Yeah, never mind that that's been on my bucket list forever, and now, you know, now I have even more reason to want to go.
I interviewed Bryce Baxter, who's also in Miss Fisher, and we were talking about Morocco, and he was saying, he goes, you gotta come, just to see it. He goes, we like everybody. It's not like some other places in the Middle East. You gotta come.
It's been on my bucket list forever, and even more so now. And the, you know, the place that they used for most of the settings, where a lot of actually Hollywood movies have been filmed.
Yeah.
That's now a stop on the tour. It was going to be Casablanca and, you know, Via Teapot in Marrakesh, and now it's the studio too.
Yeah, well, it's just like a regular studio. You still have to have permission to go there.
Yeah, you still have to have permission and all of that. But, you know, it's proximity. Proximity counts.
Absolutely. The scenes, I loved all the scenes, and I loved the Franny and Jack dancing, but my favorite, I have to admit, is when they turn around and they're both holding guns and Jack's in a white tie.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God.
Well, you know, I think it's the first time you actually see their, I love the dancing scene for lots of reasons, but I think when you first see them walking down that alleyway,
yes,
and you don't even see their faces.
Yes, you know it's them.
Silhouette.
Yes.
And that's all, you know, that's all you need. I mean, it's iconic at this point.
You know that's
Jack walking next to her.
I know. I had a big in-depth conversation with somebody. Well, that could be one of the other actors. I go, no, we've been watching this for 3 years. I know his back.
No, that man wears a fedora like nobody else. And so when, you know, he's walking through and there's a trench coat and a fedora, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that too. I knew it immediately. Yeah, it just.
Yeah.
I went, oh.
and the song blows me away. I've already tweeted to Roadshow Films, who is the distributor. I said, you know, can we get the score for sheet music for that song, because I want to start performing that one, man. I know that it's, I've heard that it's like a studio,
musician.
Yeah, studio musician, and that they, you know, they just bought the rights to this song, and it's probably not even featured in the film or anything like that, and for, you know, however many minutes, but it goes perfectly with it.
It's beautiful. I love it.
If Bryony Fisher is anything, she is nothing but diamonds.
Exactly, and it's a whole it cover the whole scope of every part of the trailer, and I thought that was really brilliantly done. That they had it covered every, you know, her rescuing the girl on the camel. No, on the motorcycle.
On the motorcycle, yeah.
And then dancing with Jack, and in the rain with Jack, and walking with Jack.
Well, even when it's not actually being used, the whole fencing scene at the end.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. I love her line. They were all made up by men.
Yes.
It actually, I had to write because I had to ask. You know that line in Persuasion in Jane Austen where Anne is talking to Captain, what's his name? I can't remember. The best friend of.
Okay, I have to own that Persuasion is my least favorite Jane Austen.
Oh,
so.
Anyway, she says.
She
said that they were all. He was saying women are all, according to every book I've ever read, they're not constant and they're da 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 da. And she and Anne goes, well, they were all written by men.
Yes. Yep.
And my mind, when I saw the trailer, went right to that line.
Yeah, it's definitely a Franny Fisher thing to say. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's all of it. If you know nothing else about it, I thought that this trailer, the best and most brilliant thing about this trailer was that if you know nothing else about Franny Fisher, have never heard of it, anything, seeing that it's a great introduction to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's exciting and glamorous, and there's, you know, intrigue and romance, and there's, you know, the whole mystery, and all of it is covered in 1 minute.
Yep. I mean, it was brilliant.
You did it all in 1 minute.
It was a great trailer. It was really...
Yeah.
Extremely well done. I don't know who the trailer people who did it were, but they did a great job.
Yeah. Well, you know, it would be the folks at Roadshow that are distributing it from Australia, but they did a great job, and it makes, you know, a lot of times when you go to see a trailer in a movie, you're like, oh, okay, is this going to actually be anything like the movie we're going to see?
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, I think that in this case, this is a lot of the movie we're going to see. That this is what all of us have been waiting for. You know, a whole new group of fans will be introduced to. It's going to be fantastic. And it can't come soon enough.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait. I do have to admit that I did go see Downton Abbey. I loved it. It was great.
I saw it too. I was disappointed. I understand that the trailer was showing as a trailer for in front of Downton Abbey in Australia,
but not here.
Not showing it in the U.S.
No.
Which I was disappointed. disappointed, but I enjoyed Downton Abbey, but I enjoyed 6 seasons of the series, and I felt like it was good, but it was also like, well, I personally could have watched this as, you know, an extended episode. I was not sure that anything got advanced, you know. I mean, they had to introduce so many characters, and I went with somebody who had never watched the series. So I was interested to find out what she thought, and she was like, oh, yeah, that was very nice, but, you know, I feel like there's so many characters in Downton Abbey that you got to just, that how do you get through the exposition of it and still try and tell a story that stands on its own, which I'm not really sure that they could have pulled off. I mean, you know, everything was gorgeous, and I was willing to pay full price admission just to see Imelda Staunton and
Maggie Smith,
you know, volume 2.
That was good, though. You gotta admit, that was good.
That was exceptional, because you know, my son, who is a big Harry Potter fan, asked me, he says, well, why are you going to this movie? And I said, well, I get to see the rematch between McGonagall and Umbridge. And he goes, oh, I might want to actually see that. And I said, probably won't, but...
It's funny because my brother is not a big classics fan, so he didn't see her in Sense and Sensibility or any of the other movies she did.
Yeah.
And he said, it was really nice to see her as a good person.
She's been a good person in a lot of things.
I know, but it's like all like classical, he won't watch what he calls femme stuff. He won't watch, like, Sense and Sensibility and stuff like that. Stuff like she was in.
So it was great for that. And really, I mean, you know,
And the clothes were amazing. You got to admit, Jennifer, the clothes were amazing.
The clothes were phenomenal. But they always are. I'm amazed at how many things that they get that are actually vintage.
Yeah.
You know, even during the series that they got ones that were actually vintage. So, yeah, the clothes were, you know, and it was not at all a bad production. I just wonder about the transition to the big screen.
It's hard.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't think that... It's a difficult decision to decide that a TV series and a well-loved TV series is going to make that transition. But you know, in contrast, I think that in the case of Miss Fisher, it's going to be, well, they have contained her to TV all of this time. Now she's been chomping at the bit to get on the big screen, you know.
Well, they also have a big screen director who was one of the major directors of the series, who directed the movie, which is a great help for scope and for knowledge of how to bring it out to the big screen. So that helps too.
Yeah.
You know, Tony Till. I don't know if I say his name right, but he's wonderful.
and Roger Lanzer, who...
Oh, yes.
It just... His eye,
brilliant.
I mean the color and the lighting and just the sweep of everything, and it's very different from, you know, looking at the things that he did during the series and in the trailer, and then looking at Miss Fisher Maude that didn't have him, and there's such a difference in the look of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see his stamp on the ones that he was a part of. And for Miss Fisher Maude, I mean, it was just it needed to be different, though. It needed to have a different look, because the 60s had a different look from the 20s. And so it needed to have that thing to set it apart.
I actually really liked it.
Huh?
I really liked it.
Yeah, and I did too. I always think that there's some people who, when they hear the term spinoff, that they think that
it's going to be the same.
It's got to be the same.
Mm-mm.
And to actually be a successful spinoff, I think that the way that you set yourself apart within the first episode is what will make you distinctive and stand out and stand on your own. And I think that they accomplished that. I mean, I did not expect Peregrine Fisher to be Franny Fisher, but I expected her to be of the family.
Reflection of her. That's all I expected.
Right, right. There's, you know, the sassiness and the pluck and the willingness to try the, you know, new things just because she's never done it before. I mean, all of that sort of stuff is very Franny.
Exactly.
Peregrine is younger. She doesn't have the years of to master the skill sets, you know. So
this is her time to master the skill set. This is the
exactly.
thing. We're seeing what Franny parts of what Franny was learning, but Peregrine is learning it on the job. I mean, and also she doesn't have the dark past that Franny had.
Yeah, I mean, there's sad.
There's sadness.
Certainly.
Yeah.
There isn't that same darkness and just tragedy about it. There is sadness, and so you do get that. I also think that the Adventuresses Club within that is the focus, really. You know, Peregrine is the name on the title and everything, but I think it's more about the group.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than the individual, as Miss Fisher was.
Well, it's just like Bertie said, she goes, for the women, Franny, the extraordinary, her and the extraordinary women of the past, and Peregrine, who is our extraordinary woman of the present and future. I mean,
yeah,
you know, that's what it's all about, right? Those
yeah.
words that fit.
Yeah, and it's much, Miss Fisher had ensemble elements, but I think that this is much more of a Miss Fisher Maud is much more of an ensemble cast.
Well, I also wanted to point out, you know, because it's a spinoff doesn't mean it's a stamp. A successful spinoff, like from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, was
mm-hmm.
Lou Grant. Lou Grant's show was nothing. I mean, the only thing it had...
It wasn't even the same genre.
No, and all it had was Lou Grant. That's it. There was and he was in the news business. Those were the only elements that were the same. That's it. MASH, Trapper John, M.D., nothing like the Trapper that you see in the show. Of course, it's supposed to be 40 years later, but it's still nothing like it. I mean... You don't have to be, and they're successful. People love them. Even though Pernell Roberts was playing the part that Wayne Rogers created, they still loved it. I mean, you can. It's the character.
because sometimes you can do that. It lends itself to it, and sometimes it doesn't. You know, that sort of transition from one show to the next, where it either has to be different or it should be similar. Like Cheers, and then moving on to spin off into Frasier.
Mm-hmm.
That had to be similar in order to work.
Right.
It had to stay a comedy. It had to stay, you know, there had to be this sort of ensemble quality to it, and that had to do that in order to work. But
yeah, Rhoda and Phyllis were exactly like the characters in the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Exactly. Exactly. So, but it doesn't always play that way. And
but I wanted
Sarah Palin Moore and Lou Grant were a great example.
That's exactly. I was going there because Peregrine is so different from Phryne. And that's why I was explaining about, like, Lou Grant, was because even though he's in it and he's the same, nothing else is the same.
Yeah, and I am actually glad that they didn't, that in order to separate themselves from the first show, that Miss Fisher Maude didn't really take a whole bunch of you know, that like you don't see an older Hugh Collins or Dot Collins now, or you know, anything like that. That you don't see those things. And I think that was a good choice on their part,
mm-hmm.
because then you could create a show that stood on its own.
I also don't think Phryne's dead.
Oh no! Oh God, no!
And I think that everybody.
Yeah, she and Jack blew off together on a deserted island.
Well, I actually think that Jack is there looking for her, and she's already rescued herself, and I have my own soul thing. They're fine.
they're fine. They're somewhere, they're fine, and, you know, Melbourne doesn't need them anymore, so that's all that we need to know.
Yeah, they have Peregrine and James, so they don't need...
Yeah,
and it's a totally different show. It's got a different feel. It's got different storylines. It's just really different. And I love the '60s. And I think Jill Jackson, and you know, when you get older, Geraldine Hayquill. Thank you. I knew her first name. I just was really struggling with her last name. I was going, Geraldine.
Yeah, I think that they're coming into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, that happens on every new series.
Yeah, and I think that it's also part of their characters that they're not going to have the same kind of chemistry that Phryne and Jack had. Okay, well, first of all, Effie and Nathan, that's lightning in a bottle.
Right.
And you don't get that often.
Right.
So, you know, it's really unfair to even try and do that comparison. But that being said, though, I do like their dynamic and how it is shifting and changing and you know, but it's still in its infancy. You know, they're getting to a place to trust each other, but they're not there
quite
yet.
There yet. Yeah.
Yeah. I also like playing, as I do with most Australian TV series that I watch.
Where are the
guest
from? I like playing
Miss Fisher guest star.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Yeah,
well, also one of the regulars is was a guest star on Miss Fisher.
Yeah.
The lady who played Concetta.
Yes, Concetta and Maria Mercedes, who was Madame Breda in the pilot of Miss Fisher,
mm-hmm.
was in the pilot of this one. She was the secretary to the department store owner.
Yes.
But she looks completely different than she did as Madame Breda, which was, you know, which is why a lot of people didn't recognize her. I actually met her here in the Bay Area on the ferry, and
really,
she told me that she was going to be in the new Miss Fisher spinoff, and I said, well, I'll be looking out for you. And she says, well, you're going to have to look hard because I don't look the same at all. So, and she was right. I actually had to go to IMDb and go, okay, where was she?
Well, it's also the bad guy. What is his name?
Oh, Sparrow?
Sparrow. He played,
yeah.
He was in the circus one on Miss Fisher.
He was the magician in Blood and Circuses.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm really bad right now. My brain.
And then of course the owner of the TV. The TV station, of course. With Madame Fleury.
She looks exactly the same. You cannot.
She looks exactly the same. Yeah. And interestingly too, she was also on another series that I play, but you know, spot the Miss Fisher guest star is A Place to Call Home.
Mm.
And there was a regular cast member. Now that's another, you know, large ensemble sort of piece, but there is another regular cast member from that show who was on. He was playing the host of the TV show, Billy, I think was his name, the guy who was kind of like the Dick Clark on the dance show.
Yeah, not mean Dick Clark, not a nice Dick Clark.
Yeah, trying to be Dick Clark, but you know, he was one of a kind.
Yeah.
But and I'm glad that Violetta got the chance to sing and, you know, to look very fabulous and Sophia.
Wasn't that great?
I didn't even know
she had that voice. Oh my God, she's a wonderful singer.
Oh yeah, she's a great singer, and you just could tell that she was just having so much fun.
I know.
You know, the actress herself, Louise, I think her name is. Anyway, she was having so much fun, and you could just, as you could tell, and they were all having a good time with it. So
I'm so bad about this that I there's a new show with Lucy Lawless, who I love for years. That's a murder mystery, and it's set in Melbourne, and it's called My Life is Murder, and I am like, oh, okay, that person is in Miss Fisher, that person is in Dr. Blake.
Yes, it's, you know, well, you know, there's the old saying about there's only 25 actors in the UK, you know, and they all show up in either Downton Abbey or Harry Potter, and you know, the same as, or Doctor Who and Harry Potter. And then, you know, so there's only, I guess, 12 actors in all of Australia. So they keep showing up in the same thing.
I know. It's just really, I was like, well, and then I love Danielle Cormack because she and Lucy go back to Xena. So,
right.
And they actually did the vagina monologues together. So they're really, really good friends. So I wasn't at all surprised, but I kind of thought it was kind of funny that Xena, Miss Fisher, and My Life is Murder, been in all three of them.
Yeah, there's, I'm enjoying that show. I mean, for one thing, I get to see, you know, Melbourne. Modern Melbourne.
That's what I'm really enjoying from it, is that I get to see the real city the way it is now, not 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, because a lot of that is still there, which was why they could successfully, you know, set it in 1920s Melbourne and all of that. But yeah, getting to see the modern streets and the laneways and the casino with the big flames up at the with the big flames on the ceiling and
the Ferris wheel.
Oh yes, the Melbourne Eye or whatever. I know they don't call it the Melbourne Eye, but it's basically the London Eye in Melbourne.
Yeah,
I can't remember what they call it. And I didn't even know that. Melbourne listeners who I've let down on that one.
And I didn't even know that was there until I watched My Life is Murder. I mean, I don't know a lot about Melbourne other than the pictures that my friends that go to Melbourne have shown me.
And so when
I was watching look at that. Oh, that's cool. Oh, look at that.
that's actually near the Docklands, south of the Yarra River. So it's south of the Central Business District and it's not far from the studios where they filmed Miss Fisher Modern.
Oh, okay.
So it's all, that's kind of a, it's kind of this industrial area that has been taken over by film studios and that kind of thing. I don't know if this has happened in LA too much, but in San Francisco, a lot of the old military bases have become TV studios and movie studios and things like that. Like Lucasfilm has taken over the Presidio. They film a lot of Discovery Channel shows on Treasure Island. So there's a lot of that. And so the Docklands area is kind of the same. You know, there's still like industrial businesses there, but there's also, you know, hidden amongst them is all of these TV studios and film studios too.
I think that's really cool. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of Melbourne, now that the trailer's out, can you tell us a little bit more about going to the filming?
So I can say that there's the frame of film that you see from the trailer that the group of the Kickstarter extras were involved in was in the ballroom, and that scene where Jack and Franny are dancing, and you only see it for a frame or two, very quick, but that's where we were. I didn't see anyone that I recognized. I did pause it and look at it and see if I could figure anybody out. I didn't see anyone I recognized, but there were a lot of people on set that day, so I'm not really surprised. But yeah, that was the scene. So I was very excited when I saw it and knew that it was going to be, that scene was going to be a part of it. So that was, and it was nice coming back to that memory, you know, of the filming day and just everything that we got to do as part of that trip.
And you got to see, Nathan in that white tie, and you saw Essie in that gorgeous dress, so that's cool.
Essie in that dress, that was a phenomenal dress. And it you know, they both looked beautiful all day long, which, yes, I mean, people have, you know, they had their own makeup and hair people and all of that, but they really were such troopers through, because that's a long day of filming,
mm-hmm.
and so they just looked, she just looked beautiful all day, and so did he, and I was starting to wilt by about hour six, but
uh-huh.
Yeah, none of it, they just looked great the entire time, so I was impressed by their energy throughout the whole thing.
Well, that's what their job is, so
yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah, and they're very good at it.
It's so exciting that you guys got to actually see it, even though it's just that one scene. Yeah, I know you can't tell us about it, but how did you, when you were dancing, and were you told, don't look at them, don't look at them?
Yeah, there was a little bit of that, and we were all given things to do to sort of distract us from, that this group of people is over here, they're doing this thing, this group of people is over on this side of the room, and they're doing this thing over here, anybody who's dancing, you're going to be, you have to get from this point A to that point B, and then go back and do it again and again and again, and, you know, try and stay consistently between points A and B. Don't go any further than that. You know, so they gave us enough to do that we were concentrating on, and so many people who were there, you know, none of them had really done any kind of acting before or had been in, you know, extras or you know, on movie sets of any kind. And they wanted so much to work hard and make this a good product. So everybody, you know, everybody behaved themselves. They didn't, you know, all try to just attack Nathan or Effie or anything like that. But I would,
you should hope not.
But you know what I mean, though. There was absolutely none of that. There was just everybody wanted to work really hard and do a great job, and I think that we all did. And I think that I was impressed by the crew and how well they worked together, but I think that they were also impressed by us because, you know, that's a really unknown situation to bring in 40 people that you have never worked with before and to do this, you know, rather complicated setup and everything, and it actually worked, you know, because there are a lot of ways that could have gone really wrong, and it didn't, and it was just, it made it an outstanding day, and I have to applaud all of their efforts, everybody at EveryCloud and the film crew and the entire team and then all of the extras who flew from everywhere to be a part of it. You know, it was just a magical day.
Cool. I think that's beautiful. That's great. It's not easy. I've worked in the film industry. I've been an actress. I've been on set. I know what it's like. It's hot. It can be boring. There's a lot of waiting. A lot of food.
And the food was stellar, I have to say. Craft service is pretty on point.
Yeah, when I first started working as an actress, I was told by friends who was also... I started as an extra. And I was told, the food's crap. It's all, like, gook. So bring your lunch. So my first day at my first job, I brought my lunch. And they said, why are you bringing that? We have craft services. And I go, I don't know. I just didn't know I wasn't supposed to. I ate it. They had lobster. I came home and I told my parents, I go, what the hell are they talking about? They had lobster. I put it in the refrigerator. Well, it was a big movie. They had the budget for it.
Well, we had a Middle Eastern and Moroccan food, actually, which was really kind of amusing considering that they had already been filming in Morocco. So we had Mediterranean the food for craft services, which was, it was really good. And there was, you know, because you're having to be there for a long time, and we got, breakfast and lunch, and they took care of us throughout the day, and there was always, you know, water and all of that sort of thing available, of course, but they were... And everybody was really nice, and that was great, but it was a well-run machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody knew what their job was, everybody knew what they needed to do, and they got it done.
I don't remember who said it, but I think it was the movie star, but I can't remember who it was. They said, any movie set you go onto, it's controlled chaos.
Yes. Yes, that's very true. I don't know who said it either, but that is very, very true. And this was a beautiful controlled chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have done a little extra work too, and sometimes the set is a bit tense, and you know, there's a lot on the line and a lot of money and people's reputations and all of that. But it was the camaraderie on that set that also impressed me. You know, that not only have these people worked together before, they like working together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an unusual thing to find.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a lot of, you know, some other movie sets will be like, well, the principals will be in their trailers and you won't see them all day, and the crew is just like, yeah, okay, well, you know, my union rep says I got to be, you know, 15 minutes off, and I'll come back in an hour, and, you know, whatever. But there wasn't any of that. It was just like, okay, something be done that you know, can't be done right at this moment. Let's help out and let's be, and I'm helping you out not because it's my job, but because I like you and you're a friend, you know, and everybody was just chatting with each other and, you know, especially early in the morning when we were all getting into makeup and hair and costuming, good morning, and, you know, and there were lots of morning greetings, and have you had coffee yet, and, you know, and everybody was taking care of everybody else, you know, and there was a driver that was getting coffee for the makeup people, and, you know, it was all kinds of stuff like that, and it was just, it was obvious watching everyone that they all got along as well as, yes, we work together, but, you know, I mean, because you know how it is with coworkers, sometimes you get the job done, but that doesn't always mean that you're friendly necessarily.
Yeah,
but this was not the case there.
I think that's great, and that it shows in the show. I think that's wonderful.
Oh yeah. And they said that they got back together a lot of the people who had worked on the show, not everybody, but a lot of people who had worked on the show, and so that I think that, and they hadn't worked together for a while, so but it seemed like it was just as easy, and you know, it's and of course they had been filming for Crypt of Tears already. You know, this was, I don't know where we were in, you know, production days, but they had already been filming at least a week at that point, probably longer, and so it was, you know, it was just great to watch everybody interact together, and they were wonderful, and we had the opportunity to go to, I think I mentioned this the last time that we talked, we had the opportunity to go to Como House, which was used as a Miss Fisher set, and it's a National Trust home, and we had the opportunity to have tea together, all of the extra group together, and it was there that I got to talk to so many of the extras and find out, you know, why they were, where they come from, why they were part of this, you know, how they found out about it, and then also just to find out, you know, who they are when they're not being fans of Miss Fisher, and that was the kind of first seeds of the idea that led to my eventually coming up with the idea for the podcast, was that, you know, I met a lot of remarkable people who did and are doing extraordinary things in their own right. And so it was a very, I mean, we shared travel stories and swapped Antac biscuit recipes and everything in between, you know, it was really a great group of people to be around.
Good timing, because we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
So tell us all about your podcast. We only got about 5 minutes.
Okay, well, the podcast is the Adventuresque podcast, and the first episode will be launching on October 13th, and we are coming together to, I will be interviewing fans of Miss Fisher that are doing extraordinary, adventurous things in their own right, and I will be talking with already scheduled and booked to interview our people from 12 different countries, 4 different continents, and these are people from all around the world who the thing that they have in common is that they all enjoy Miss Fisher and the entire Miss Fisher universe. But they will be telling their stories. They're artists, they're authors, they're scientists, they're people who are working to change the world, and I'm very excited about this. And you can find it on Spotify and iTunes and wherever you find podcasts, starting October 13th. And it's adventurouspodcast.com for all the show notes. But it will be, I will be talking to mostly women, because that is the fan base, but mostly women who, and asking them the question, what would Miss Fisher do? And everybody has a different answer, what that means to them. So what would Miss Fisher do? Well, if she had the opportunity to meet all of these extraordinary women, she would do a podcast too. So that's how I answer that question.
That's sweet. And give everybody your the website again, and also any of your social media information.
Okay, so it's Adventurest, so adventure with the ESS, podcast.com is the website, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter as the Adventurest Podcast, on Instagram as or on Twitter as Adventurest Pod, and on Instagram as the Adventurest Podcast. And if anybody is listening who thinks that they have somebody who is a Miss Fisher fan and they think that they would be a great person to interview for this podcast, please drop me a line by email at theadventurestpodcast@gmail.com and nominate them for the show. I have an extensive list to start off with, but I don't know everybody in the fandom, but I would like to. So feel free to nominate someone, and I will get them on the show.
Cool. Thank you so much for coming on. It sounds like a great show. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.